1 Samuel 22 through 23. So David departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down there to him. Then everyone who was in distress, and everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him, and he became captain over them. Now there were about 400 men with him. And David went from there to Mizpah of Moab. And he said to the king of Moab, "Please let my father and my mother come and stay with you until I know what God will do for me." Then he left them with the king of Moab, and they stayed with him all the time that David was in the stronghold. But Gad the prophet said to David, "Do not stay in the stronghold. Leave and go into the land of Judah." So David left and went into the forest of Hereth. Then Saul heard that David and the men who were with him had been discovered. Now Saul was in Gibeah, sitting under the tamarisk tree, on the height with his spear in his hand, and all his servants were standing in front of him. Saul said to his servants who were standing in front of him, "Hear now, you Benjaminites, will the son of Jesse really give all of you fields and vineyards? Will he make you all commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds? For all of you have conspired against me, so that there is no one who informs me when my son makes a covenant with the son of Jesse. And there is none of you who cares about me, or informs me that my son has stirred up my servant against me, to lie in ambush as it is this day." Then Doeg the Edomite, who was standing in front of the servants of Saul, responded and said, "I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob, to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub. And he inquired of the Lord for him, gave him provisions, and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine." Then the king sent a messenger to summon Ahimelech the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's household, the priests who were in Nob, and all of them came to the king. Saul said, "Listen now, son of Ahitub." And he replied, "Here I am, my lord." Then Saul said to him, "Why have you and the son of Jesse conspired against me, in that you have given him bread and a sword, and have inquired of God for him, so that he would rise up against me by lying in ambush, as it is this day?" Then Ahimelech answered the king and said, "And who among all your servants is as faithful as David, the king's own son-in-law, who is a commander over your bodyguard, and is honored in your house? Did I just begin to inquire of God for him today? Far be it from me. Do not let the king impute anything against his servant, or against any of the household of my father, because your servant knows nothing at all of this whole affair." But the king said, "You shall certainly die, Ahimelech, you and all your father's household." And the king said to the guards who were attending him, "Turn around and put the priests of the Lord to death, because their hand also is with David, and because they knew that he was fleeing and did not inform me." But the servants of the king were unwilling to reach out with their hands to attack the priests of the Lord. Then the king said to Doeg, "You, turn around and attack the priests." And Doeg the Edomite turned around and attacked the priests. And he killed on that day 85 men who wore the linen ephod. He also struck Nob, the city of the priests, with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and infants. He also struck oxen, donkeys, and sheep with the edge of the sword. But one son of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled to David. Abiathar informed David that Saul had killed the priests of the Lord. Then David said to Abiathar, "I knew on that day, when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would certainly tell Saul. I myself have turned against every person in your father's household. Stay with me, do not be afraid, even though he who is seeking my life is seeking your life, for you are safe with me." Then they informed David, saying, "Behold, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah, and are plundering the threshing floors." So David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and attack these Philistines?" And the Lord said to David, "Go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah." But David's men said to him, "Behold, we are fearful here in Judah. How much more, then, if we go to Keilah against the ranks of the Philistines?" So David inquired of the Lord once more, and the Lord answered him, and said, "Arise, go down to Keilah, for I am going to hand the Philistines over to you." Then David and his men went to Keilah, and fought the Philistines, and he drove away their livestock and struck them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. Now it came about, when Abiathar the son of Ahimelech fled to David at Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand. When it was reported to Saul that David had come to Keilah, Saul said, "God has handed him over to me, for he shut himself in by entering a city with double gates and bars." So Saul summoned all the people of war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. But David knew that Saul was plotting evil against him. So he said to Abiathar the priest, "Bring the ephod here." Then David said, "Lord, God of Israel, your servant has heard for certain that Saul is seeking to come to Keilah to destroy the city on my account. Will the citizens of Keilah hand me over to him? Will Saul come down just as your servant has heard? Lord, God of Israel, please tell your servant." And the Lord said, "He will come down." Then David said, "Will the citizens of Keilah hand me and my men over to Saul?" And the Lord said, "They will hand you over." Then David and his men, about 600, rose up and departed from Keilah, and they went wherever they could go. When it was reported to Saul that David had escaped from Keilah, he gave up the pursuit. David stayed in the wilderness in the strongholds, and remained in the hill country in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul searched for him every day, but God did not hand him over to him. Now David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life while David was in the wilderness of Ziph at Horesh. And Jonathan, Saul's son, set out and went to David at Horesh, and encouraged him in God. He said to him, "Do not be afraid, because the hand of Saul my father will not find you, and you will be king over Israel. And I will be second in command to you, and Saul my father knows that as well." So the two of them made a covenant before the Lord, and David stayed at Horesh while Jonathan went to his house. Then the Ziphites came up to Saul at Gibeah, saying, "Is David not keeping himself hidden with us in the strongholds at Horesh, on the hill of Hakalah, which is south of Jeshimon? Now then, O king, come down, since you fully desire to do so, and our part shall be to hand him over to the king." Saul said, "May you be blessed of the Lord, since you have had compassion on me. Go now, be more persistent, and investigate and see his place where he is hiding, and who has seen him there, for I am told that he is very cunning. So look, and learn about all the hiding places where he keeps himself hidden, and return to me with certainty, and I will go with you. And if he is in the land, I will search him out among all the thousands of Judah." So they set out and went to Ziph, ahead of Saul. Now David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in the Arabah to the south of Jeshimon. When Saul and his men went to seek him, they informed David, and he came down to the rock and stayed in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard about it, he pursued David in the wilderness of Maon. Saul went on one side of the mountain, and David and his men on the other side of the mountain. And David was hurrying to get away from Saul, while Saul and his men were surrounding David and his men to apprehend them. But a messenger came to Saul, saying, "Hurry and come, for the Philistines have launched an attack against the land." So Saul returned from pursuing David, and went to confront the Philistines. Therefore they called that place the Rock of Division. And David went up from there and stayed in the strongholds of En-Gedi. Luke 2. Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. and all the people were on their way to register for the census, each to his own city. Now Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was betrothed to him, and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, and keeping watch over their flock at night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood near them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And so the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly army of angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among people with whom he is pleased." When the angels had departed from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph, and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen him, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed about the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. And when 8 days were completed, so that it was time for his circumcision, he was also named Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days for their purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what has been stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young doves. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him in his arms, and blessed God, and said, 'Now, Lord, you are letting your bondservant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all the peoples, a light for revelation for the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel.' And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him, and Simeon blessed them, and said to his mother Mary, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and as a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce your own soul, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed.' And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, and had lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She did not leave the temple grounds, serving night and day with fasts and prayers. And at that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God, and continued to speak about him to all those who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. And when his parents had completed everything in accordance with the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city of Nazareth. Now the child continued to grow and to become strong, increasing in wisdom, for the favor of God was upon him. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. And as they were returning, after spending the full number of days required, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents were unaware of it. Instead, they thought that he was somewhere in the caravan. And they went a day's journey, and then they began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, looking for him. Then, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When Joseph and Mary saw him, they were bewildered. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." And he said to them, "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?" And yet they, on their part, did not understand the statement which he had made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued to be subject to them, and his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we also have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us rid ourselves of every obstacle and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let's run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking only at Jesus, the originator and perfecter of the faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are punished by him. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he punishes every son whom he accepts. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as his sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children, and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share in his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems not to be pleasant, but painful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterward it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak, and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is impaired may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people, and the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many become defiled, that there be no sexually immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. For you know that even afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought for it with tears. For you have not come to a mountain that can be touched, and to a blazing fire, and to darkness, and gloom, and whirlwind, and to the blast of a trumpet, and the sound of words, which sound was such that those who heard begged that no further word be spoken to them, for they could not cope with the command, "If even an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned." And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, "I am terrified and trembling." But you have come to the Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the myriads of angels, to the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn, who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the Judge of all, and to the spirits of righteousness made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns us from heaven. And his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken, as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let's show gratitude, by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Proverbs 17:1-9. Better is a dry morsel and quietness with it, than a house full of feasting with strife. A servant who acts wisely will rule over a son who acts shamefully, and will share in the inheritance among brothers. The refining pot is for silver, and the furnace for gold. But the Lord tests the heart. An evildoer listens to wicked lips. A liar pays attention to a destructive tongue. One who mocks the poor taunts his maker. One who rejoices at disaster will go unpunished. Grandchildren are the crown of the old, and the glory of sons is their father's. Excellent speech is not fitting for a fool, much less are lying lips to a prince. A bribe is a charm in the sight of its owner. Wherever he turns, he prospers. One who conceals an offense seeks love, but one who repeats a matter separates close friends. Psalm 116. I love the Lord, because he hears my voice and my pleas, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me, and the terrors of Sheol came upon me. I found distress and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. Please, Lord, save my life. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous. Yes, our God is compassionate. The Lord watches over the simple. I was brought low, and he saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has dealt generously with you. For you have rescued my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling. I shall walk before the Lord, in the land of the living. I believed when I said, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all people are liars. What shall I repay to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord. May it be in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones. O Lord, I surely am your slave. I am your slave, the son of your female slave. You have unfastened my restraints. I will offer you a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord. May it be in the presence of all his people, in the courtyards of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, Jerusalem. Praise the Lord.